All right, we are going to get started with the media availabilities for the Busch Pole Award qualifying here at Texas Motor Speedway for Sunday's O'Reilly Auto Parts 500. We are joined by our second fastest qualifier, Kevin Harvick, who is the driver of the number 4 Busch Light Ford. Kevin, why don't you just take us through your lap out there?
It was good. We had a good lap and just got beat by a little bit. I think you didn't really realize that was going to be the last one, but we thought there was a chance. So kept it in the family, and that's a good thing for Stuart Haas Racing, and hopefully we can continue the trend of running well for the rest of the weekend.
All right, we'll open up to questions for Kevin. Please raise your hand. We'll get a wireless mic to you. We'll come up here with Bob. He's coming behind you, Bob.
Bob Hocker, ESPN. Did you try the top groove at all in first practice?
No.
So you have no clue if it's going to be rubbered in and good to race.
The bottom groove is going to be the fastest, and until they have a race, there's not going to be anybody off the bottom just because it's still – and it's dirty. You know, even with all the work that they've done, everybody is still running on the bottom, so the debris is still – it's not as treacherous as it would have been if they wouldn't have run everything in. So, you know, they're doing everything you can, but in the end you just have so much grip in the whole racetrack that the bottom is going to be – you know, the dominant groove until there's less grip.
We'll go to Chris.
Chris Knight, CatchFence.com. Kevin, two quick things real quick. I was going back through happy hours, and Derek Carr called in a couple weeks ago, surprise call into the show, and said that he had been a fan of NASCAR and was getting more involved in it and had expressed some interest to come into a race. Have you guys worked anything out where he's going to be able to come to a race?
We actually haven't carried. We need to carry that conversation out. You know, it's we went on vacation and kind of shut the world off. So I'm glad you reminded me. We need to try to fulfill that conversation to get him to a race. He's a good guy. You know, obviously I don't know if any of you follow him on Twitter, but he's fun to follow just because he's such an inspirational person, and the things that he says really make a lot of sense in life in general. So it'd be good to have him.
All right. And next week at Bristol, Chase Briscoe going to make his Xfinity debut with Stuart Haas Racing. Have you watched Chase as he's matured and blossomed up through the ranks, and how do you think he'll do?
I think Chase is going to do well. I think, obviously, you know, our stuff's been running well, and I think it's going to be good for him to get in one of those cars to have a better feel as to what they should feel like. I know that, you know, they're still trying to get everything back to where it needs to be with the 60 there, and it just, you know, I think him getting in our car is definitely going to give him a good indication on where he's at and you know, get him his first good look at, you know, having something that is capable of running in the top 5.
We'll go to Reed in the front.
Reed Spencer, NASCAR Wire Service. How did you enjoy your visit to Augusta?
Augusta was really good. You know, it's we were talking about the trip this morning, actually, and you know, everything that we do here is all about, you know, trying to figure out how you're going to do better on social media and connect with younger fans, and how are we going to do this? And there they take their phone away. You can't get on a property with your phone, and nobody's worried about, you know, taking pictures, and everybody's engaged in the event, and you know, it's sold out every day, and so it's, you know, it's, that's intriguing just because of the fact it's so opposite of how everybody else is thinking in every other sport, and it's just one of those little niche situations. So that's not, it's outside of reality, but it's very refreshing to walk around for 6 hours and not have to even, you don't even think about it because you don't have it. That being your phone. The event itself is great. I wish I could grow my grass like that.
Any final questions for Kevin? Lee?
With all the buzz with Tiger coming back this week, you start to wonder who could be that guy in NASCAR. I mean, I asked Stuart about it. He said you could be the guy that moves the needle. But, you know, do we really need somebody over here that can move the needle like that, that does get the attention of sponsors and such?
The fact of the matter is I'm never going to be Dale Earnhardt Jr. or Chase Elliott. You're not going to have that connection with the hardcore roots of the fans. I mean, you know, Tony was popular, but he's never going to be an Earnhardt. I think as you look at it right now, you know, Chase has that potential. You know, I'm fortunate to have a solid fan base, and it seems like we keep gaining momentum from a fan side of things, and hopefully that continues. But the guy that has the most potential is Chase Elliott with the traditional NASCAR fans. But it's just like we talk, you got to win. There's a difference between a superstar and a megastar, and in the past, our superstar wasn't a megastar because of the fact he didn't win enough. And Chase Elliott is the next guy that can be the megastar, but you got to win. And I don't think you do. I mean, when you have a guy like Tiger Woods, he's one and one and one and one and one and one. And performance is, Danica had a personality, and she didn't perform well. And she could have been a megastar as well. Danica didn't perform well. And in the end, performance trumped these, from superstar to megastar. And if you want to be the megastar, you have to perform and win. And that's the effect that, a guy like Tiger Woods has. And it's something that, even you look at Jimmy Johnson, and Jimmy and I have had this conversation. We don't have that capability from just a traditional roots family standpoint that you can be that guy. It's just there's only a few people that have come through the sport that can be that guy. Jeff Gordon obviously came through, and but he won a lot in the beginning, and he was the guy that was the young guy that kept winning and won championships and had that immediate impact as far as catching everybody's attention. And it's after you get in here for a few years and you don't catch everybody's attention, you just kind of wind up being one of the guys unless you wind up winning a lot.
But you're having a revival of sorts because you did win. When's the last time we saw a guy win three in a row? Mm-hmm. You're having a revival because you have connected with the fan base on happy hours.
I agree.
You have that forum. Mm-hmm. You also take the time where Jimmy hasn't to be on Fox Sports and to get your brand out there. You have top-of-the-line sponsors, whether it's InBev or Jimmy John's or Mobile, that can also take the Harvick brand. So, what's it going to take to get the sport back to where it was, 5 years ago?
Yeah, and, I think you need to back up more than 5 years. Yeah. I think when you look at that dynamic between Jeff Gordon and Dale Earnhardt, that's the dynamic that we have the potential to have right now with the group of young racers that have come in. But we have to have them. Somebody has to step up and be that winner. Who's the young winner? Who's going to be the guy that's going to go against Truex and challenge him for the championship that he's defending right now and win races? And so I'm happy with where we're at. We're winning races and gaining momentum and doing all the things that we need to do. And if we keep winning, you'll keep gaining that same momentum with the fans. And hopefully we can continue doing that. But at some point, a lot of the marketing has gone around a group of guys, and the guys that are winning, you can market over here, and then you can have the winners over here. And until you get somebody to step up consistently to win races in that group, and Kyle Larson has done that. So it's just an interesting conversation that you could debate a lot of things for a long time. That I love to talk about it because it's very interesting, and we all need each other, to play off of everything that's going on. But, it's still seems like it's the same group of guys that it's been for the last few years winning.
Earnhardt was turning 50, right before he died, and he still had a level of popularity that was just insane. So,
absolutely.
You keep bringing up the age thing, but when you think about him, Terry Labonte, these guys were in their 40s and, still bringing in fans.
Absolutely. And, hopefully the guys that are in their 40s can keep doing that because that's our goal.
All right, Kevin, thanks for joining us, and good
Thank
luck
you.
On Sunday.
Thank you.